handoff. Taylor running outside. He's got room 25. Turns inside 20. On his feet 15. Here he goes to the 5. Touchdown. Fred Taylor. 25 yards and the Jaguars are on the board. Mark takes the snap, drops to throw, pocket collapses, sets up the screen. Taylor's got it with room. Taylor's at the 15, Taylor's at the 10. Taylor goes to the 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor. 16 yards on the screen pass, and the Jaguars take their first lead of the night, 13-10. Here's a handoff to Fred, running to the left, looking for room. He is into the end zone, touchdown Jacksonville. That's 3 touchdowns tonight for Taylor, and the Jaguars lead 26-10. They're piling it on the Steelers here at Three Rivers Stadium. Mark under center, gives the ball to Fred, running to the left, cutting it back. He's at the 25, he's at the 20. Fred coming outside at the 15. Fred at the 10, 5, touchdown, Fred Taylor, his 4th touchdown of the night.
Wow, he's wearing out that corner of the end zone, that's for sure.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Mark Long.
I wish you had scored about 4 more against the Steelers. We'd play them all right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, sure. When's the last time you heard Jags piling it on at home?
Love it. Or on the road, for that matter.
Yeah.
Either way.
I think you probably got to go back to, what, that Tampa Bay game? What was that, 2011? Where Tampa Bay turned it over 7 times late in the year?
Yep. Yeah,
where they really piled it on anybody?
Jags like to run it up on occasion. Just not enough occasions. We'll find out this week, man. Washington.
We're going to find out this week.
Washington.
Bold prediction.
I don't think they're going to run it up, but we're going to find out if they can. I mean, Washington's not the best team in the National Football League.
No, it's dumpster fire versus train wreck this week.
Okay.
The dregs of 2013. Going head to head.
I feel like if I'm the dumpster fire or the train wreck, I don't know which you're referring to which. I got a fighting chance in that battle.
First off, both teams got to feel real confident going in this game. I mean, you watch Washington and the Jags got to think, we got that. You watch the Jags in the second half and Redskins got to think, oh, we got, it's the best home opener they could give
Absolutely.
Us. Absolutely. And then I'm a little bit surprised that the Skins are a 6-point favorite.
Is it 6?
6. So yeah. They get 3 at home, so they're a 3-point favorite straight up.
But part of that is the Vegas perception of the Jags and the public betting perception of Jackson.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. But you would think all the money's going to go on Washington either way, so maybe they're trying to give the Jags a few. I don't know. If you were to say pick them straight up, no, we're not giving any line, no points. Who are you picking straight up?
This week I'm probably going to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people think that way. That's why the line surprises me.
Yeah, but we're here in Jacksonville.
Well,
so,
okay.
I think if you asked a lot of people and said, all right, Washington is coming back home for their home opener and they're taking on the Jaguars, most people would pick Washington straight up outside of the market, don't you?
I don't know. It depends on what you saw of the opener. I mean, Washington
all right,
do anything?
Well, then they're all picking Washington because nobody opener.
What if you saw the first half?
I suppose if you saw it though, where was that game even televised?
It was
Philly.
It was probably the least televised game in of the 1 o'clock games.
That's all I'm saying.
For week one, probably.
You have no idea what the Jaguars look like. By the way,
they scored 17 points. That's all you know.
I'm thinking now, who is the Jaguars all-time all-airport guy? Now that that's gotten me thinking about this, because I think immediately when Jeff started going through some guys from the University of Florida, I thought, well, does Dan Kendra qualify for that at Florida State? I mean, the guy painted himself green and went as the Hulk and did a passable job of that one Halloween, then he blew himself up a little apartment experiment session going on. I don't know if he's building bombs or what he was doing. We can laugh now because no one died,
right.
As far as we know, but... Who is the all-time Jags all-airport guy? Is there a guy that you're like, man, just look at that. That guy should be a 5-time Pro Bowler. Just look at him. He's a physical specimen and couldn't
play
a lick.
Yeah, they're all physical specimens.
Right, but you have to be
NFL.
Good enough to stick around.
All right, how about
Yurko wasn't
if I said
all-airport guy.
And I brought this guy up in the locker room last week because I couldn't remember his name, and Josh Scobie, chimed in with his name. Aiken Adell? Do you remember Aiken Adell?
Oh, sure.
Aiken Adell, who had his own website, who was into modeling and probably thought pretty highly of himself, as a lot of these guys do. But
yeah.
Aiken Adell was, the all-body team by every account.
I think that's a good call.
And I would think in his play, he didn't do anything on the field.
No, but he hung around in the National
he
Football
went,
League.
He left from here and went, I think, when did he go to Miami?
Went to Miami and Dallas and, I think, and had...
I think he may have been at Dallas before he came to Jacksonville.
No, wasn't he a Jag draft pick?
No.
I thought he was.
Thought he was too.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He was gonna Iadeli out of Purdue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he was. But regardless, I mean, he still started in the National Football League after he left Jacksonville, albeit pretty nondescript guy. Anyway, think about that. We'll see if we can come up with a couple of good ones for later on.
Yeah, he was a Jags. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jags traffic. Gosh, he played...
he's probably what?
Like 9 years in the league?
He was probably like a third rounder, wasn't he? Something like that. I'm guessing. Yeah, he hung around for a while. So, I mean, you have to
9 years in the league. Played first four with Jacksonville. 02 to 05. 2 years with Dallas. 2 years with Miami. And then a year with Buffalo.
Yeah. I don't think he started all that time. But he certainly started a good bit of it.
Started pretty much every game of his career.
Is that right?
Except he started 3 games as a rookie with the Jags. And then started 16, 16, 11, 16, 14, 13, 15, 10.
Wow, so he pretty much was a full-time starter except for injury then the rest of the way.
Yeah.
So that probably rises above the level of what we're talking about. You got to be in that nether region of good enough to consistently make the roster, but probably not good enough to start.
9.5 sacks in 9 years.
And he was not a sack monster, no.
No.
But, I mean, you're good enough to start in the National Football League that many games.
10 forced fumbles.
He wasn't a big playmaker.
Obviously not. He had a 550 sack.
He was the all-time leading clubbing Jaguar, going to the club, going to South Beach.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Put it this way. He would rank, okay? I don't know what the final rankings would be. He would show up somewhere in those rankings. There was a stretch. He used to come in with us all the time. On in a different era, back on another network.
Yes, he did.
And we'd come in all the time and talk football. And it was the story. We just wanted to get him in there, and he'd tell us stories about he and T.J. Slaughter on the breaks going to Miami. And it was debauchery city down there. Let's just be honest about it. So good for Aiken, you know. Still see him every once in a while. I saw him a couple years ago at the Super Bowl. He still pops up. Don't know what he's doing. Still in incredible shape, by the way.
Stunning.
There you have it.
Stunning, huh?
Stunning.
Breaking
all right.
news.
All right. Tale of two halves.
By the way, somebody feels like fighting me on
Why?
Twitter. Because I said they're either a dumpster fire or a train wreck.
Well, which are they?
Well, I don't know. I just
think
dumpster
fire is worse.
If you watch the...
I know train wreck is worse because you're going to have more dead bodies, but just the image of a dumpster fire. A dumpster is already unappealing
There's
enough
no
as it is.
No way to change what happened in the second half. That was a dumpster fire or a train wreck, that second half.
Okay. I'm going to go with train wreck, because the train was on the tracks in the first half.
Okay, and
it
moving
was going along.
Along
pretty
oh,
nicely.
Swimmingly.
Swimmingly. And it was fantastic.
Speaking of all-airport team.
Marcus Pollard.
Here's the captain of the all-airport team.
You don't play 13 years or whatever it was in the NFL and just be on the all-airport team.
He knows I'm just joking.
He was going to come in here.
He was. I could tell.
He was going to
straight He was ready
your,
to fight
your
me.
Your perception
See, him and Johnny both.
On that. There were signs at the half. Clearly, though, that with the third down conversions, the lack of a run game, stuff like that. But despite the fact that they're up 17-0, that it was a tenuous situation.
Well, sure, the blocked field goal and the missed field goal.
Right. Those as well.
Those were, to me, are game changers.
Missed scoring opportunities. You're up 23-0. Even if you're up 20-0, it's a little bit of a different perspective.
And then the touchdowns. and then you give up the big play on the fourth down where you're not set and you don't call timeout. Pozlesny's on the sideline. Oh, it was almost like a Bermuda Triangle of things that could have gone poorly right there. Paz on the sideline. JT Thomas is in there. So you don't even have, you know, Stupar is certainly more experienced than JT Thomas. You got JT Thomas in there. Basically his first play, you know, his first play at middle linebacker in his Jags history.
Right.
And he's thrown in there. He's trying to get the play in. He's slow getting the play in. Philly's still going hurry up. Defense isn't set. They pop it up the middle on fourth and one. For the touchdown, for the victory. And it's, I mean, just a game changer right there. So I don't know, you know, there's a lot of plays you can, turning point. That was one turning point. Probably the blocked field goal and the missed field goal, two other turning points.
I think, though, that run was the big play in the game because it, all of a sudden you go from fourth and one, you may be turning it over on downs, down 17-0, giving the Jags the ball around midfield.
Yeah.
And, one play later, and you're in the end zone. And even if they had picked up the first down and they took six more plays and punched in the end zone, I would think that they would have that feeling like, man, is a lot of work to climb back into this football game. And I think they saw that one go up quick as it did. And it just, they're like, okay, wait a minute. We're going to make some big plays. We're the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what we do. Brian Sexton was talking about it. I think it was like 99 plays, something over 90 plays of 20 yards or more last year, most in the National Football League. So that's what they do. They have explosive plays. That's how they beat you.
Yeah. Well, then that's with DeSean Jackson. They don't, they didn't have him, but Macklin.
Sure.
Certainly when you got Macklin and McCoy and
right, they
didn't
have Macklin last
difference.
Year. He's not the exact same playmaker that DJ.
Well, and the other thing that changed with that Sproles play, not only, I mean, when we talk about it being a train wreck in the second half, that's exactly what that play was. It was, five guys that were out of position. It was the wrong personnel on the field. It was the coaching staff not making the right decision to just get the timeout and get them in a better position. And it's letting Darren Sproles want to run a play off center. Darren Sproles on a 4th-and-1 was the play that the Philadelphia Eagles decided to go with, and you couldn't put yourself in a position to even give yourself a chance on that play. But you talk about the big plays, and it's something we talked to Jeff Loggeman about yesterday. They were there to be had in the first half of that game, and because Nick Foles was so terrible, he just didn't find guys. I mean, there were open guys for that Eagles team, and it's almost like that Sproles play happened, and everyone on the Eagles team just said, relax.
Right, we're going to hit them. They've been here. We finally hit one. He said they had the Macklin play that they scored the touchdown on, the exact same play early in the game, and Foles never saw him. He's running just behind everybody, like waving his arm, like, hey,
oh, really?
Throw
me
the football. Yeah, and so... While Jeff gave credit to the defense, and certainly watching the game, you just watch it with your naked eye watching the TV feed. The Jaguar defense was beating the hell out of Nick Foles in that first half.
Oh, sure. He was holding the ball too long.
And I thought, though, that some of his inaccuracy was being pounded into him. You know what I mean? Like, he was, like, wondering where it was coming from next, and he was missing guys, 10 feet away from him, seemingly, by several yards, which is just unacceptable in the National Football League, but... Jeff put, I think, more of it on the fact that he said if Nick Foles had he played like he played in the second half, even with the pass rush that was there in the first half, it wouldn't have been a 17-0 game,
right. Obviously.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we'll look ahead as well today as the Jags get ready for the Washington Redskins. We'll get Mark Long's opinion on the Ray Rice situation going on in the National Football League right now. Wednesdays, brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter for all your plumbing needs, 695-1911, the number to call. For us, tweet us in a variety of ways. Today, we're asking you to look ahead. The Tom Bush Family of Dealership Fan Feedback Spotlight asks you which matchup favors the Jags the most as they go up against the Washington Redskins this week. And whatever that happens to be, maybe the linebacker against the running backs, DBs against his wide receivers, however you want to look at it, what matchup do you think is the biggest plus in the Jaguars column? We'll take your tweets at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren, and of course, phone lines open to you for the next 2 hours at 641-1010. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for Harry's Razors. I'm not a big fan of shaving. I don't do it very often. I try to shave maybe once a week. The great thing about Harry's is they got a plan for every shaver. If you're a daily shaver, you just need to. That beard is coming in thick and luscious every day. Harry's got a plan for you. They got a plan for guys like me who are infrequent shavers. The key is you got to go to harrys.com to find out. They manufacture their own razor blades. They're going to save you a bunch of money. They are as good or better than any blades I've ever used, and I've used all the expensive ones because I figure if I'm not shaving that often, why not get the good stuff? Well, Harry's going to save you about 50% off the bigger name brands in the local drugstore or pharmacy, wherever you happen to pick them up. Go to harrys.com, enter my first name, Mike. They're going to knock 20% off their already low prices for the first item you purchase at harrys.com. Razors, blades, shaving cream, it all ships for free. Go to harrys.com, use the promo code Mike, and start a new razor experience. That's harrys.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, you're listening to Jaguars Today on the home of the Jags. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What's going on in Bulldog Country? Culhane's Irish Pub presents the Georgia Bulldog Football Report, brought to you by Culhane's Irish Pub in Atlantic Beach. On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
If you're looking for the best selection of high-quality pre-owned vehicles and a pleasant, non-confrontational purchase experience, visit Garber Auto Mall, just south of Fleming Island on Highway 17 in Green Cove Springs.
or from the comfort of your home or office. Using your computer, tablet, or smartphone, you may visit GarberAutoMall.com. We have vehicles starting at $49.95, and we carry almost every brand and model made. Our vehicles are impeccably serviced and reconditioned to the most exacting standards. At Garber Auto Mall, we earn our customers one at a time by providing quality vehicles in a comfortable environment, and then we back that up with great customer service for as long as you own the car. Garber Auto Mall in Green Cove Springs is only a short drive from you, and GarberAutoMall.com is only a click away.
Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar, locally owned and family-oriented, with a full menu served till 2 a.m. daily in the River City Marketplace, I-95 at the airport exit. Boston's, we've got you covered.
Winter in Florida may not exactly be brutal, but this is a good time to make sure your heating and cooling system is running at peak performance. After all, a properly tuned system can save up to 30% on your energy bills, extend equipment life, and keep manufacturer warranties valid. Now get a fall system precision tune-up for only $69. That's a $30 savings. Call Air Engineers Service Experts at 866-EXPERTS or visit airengineers.com. License CAC 181-7129.
Call 866-EXPERTS.
Get your Jags news first. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Is your home's foundation letting you down? Do you have exterior and interior wall cracks, sloping floors, and sticking doors? Is your foundation cracking? The engineers and specialists at Foundation Professionals of Florida are your full-service foundation repair experts. Let Foundation Professionals find the solution, work with your insurance company, and give you back the peace of mind that your home is safe. Financing is available. Call 287-2690. That's 287-2690. Fully licensed and insured. Foundation Professionals of Florida.
There's only one tire store in Jacksonville that's committed to making your tire buying experience less complicated and a lot less stressful. It's your locally owned Sun Tire. Sun Tire never makes you buy services that you don't need just to get low tire prices. We shop the market, so we know where the best values are on tires. Why buy services like alignments just to receive low tire prices? You shouldn't. Sun Tire's prices include free road hazard protection and fast lane service, which means you get the extra protection you need with new tire installation in 45 minutes or less. Sun Tire never raises prices just to reduce them for an advertised sale. That's just not right. We're not into gimmicks. When Sun Tire quotes you a tire price, you can literally write a check because that is the price you'll pay. There'll be no surprises with add-ons or fees. Sun Tire wants to make your tire buying experience easy, and we won't complicate your buying experience. Visit us at suntire.com or call any of our 11 stores.
Sun Tire. You can't depend on us.
1010 XL and 92.5 FM is brought to you by Jack Becker Distributor.
Bubba Watson, Jim Furyk, Matt Kuchar, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker. What do they all have in common? All PGA Tour champs, and they all got their start on the Web.com Tour. Come see the next rising star at the Web.com Tour Championship as it returns to TPC Sawgrass September 18th through the 21st. 50 PGA Tour cards up for grabs. Season finale tickets start at only $19 at WebTourChampionship.com. This is the path to the PGA Tour.
Jaguar football starts here.
Take care of the ball. Both hands on the rock.
We are live at the stadium with breaking Jaguars news.
Green 89!
The best Jags coverage is on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, home of the Jaguars.
This is Sean Paul, Get Busy.
Got this one on my iPad shuffle, iPod shuffle.
iPad? You have an iPad shuffle?
I do. I've got so many iPods or pads that are shuffled.
Are you going to do the iWatch?
And I have no idea.
Are you going to be an
iWatch? What means? What is that?
That's the new thing they announced yesterday, right? The iWatch.
Oh,
the,
were you,
the iPhone 6 and the iWatch. Yeah.
Why would I want that?
Why wouldn't you?
It's
you have your watch right there. You never.
How big is it?
It's a phone watch.
How big?
It's kind of Batman-esque.
Yeah, it's,
you want to be Batman.
I don't.
I can tell.
I
Robin.
Don't want to be
you want to be Robin?
I want to be Dick Tracy. That's what I want to be.
You like Madonna?
She had her day. She did.
Britney's single. Did you know that? Britney Spears single?
I did not know that.
I heard that news on the this morning coming
usually
over.
Usually get updated. Didn't realize she wasn't single.
She's not been single for a while.
Hasn't been with K-Fed for a while?
No.
The fact that you remember his name, wow.
Jessica Biel.
Kevin
is now
Federline,
single again,
man.
Oh, okay. So Jessica Biel or Brittany.
If wait, what? Jessica Biel single? That means Justin Timberlake single.
Whoa, right. Lauren. Lauren, do you want me to put in a good word for you?
For Justin Timberlake? No, I think
for Jessica Biel.
I think for Jessica Biel more. No, I do think she's gorgeous, though. I will say that.
She is gorgeous.
And Timberlake's a handsome man as
he
well.
He is a handsome
man. He's got some moves.
He does.
Yeah, he certainly does. And he knows just what the ladies
he's
want
a good actor,
Christmas
too.
As well.
He's a good actor.
Had I known that, it would have been a Justin Timberlake kind of day.
He's very comedic.
Oh, so going back to the music.
Got the Britney connection as well.
This is true.
He does.
He's probably got
now,
more connections. He probably has a lot of connections.
Hold the music. Are we talking about Britney?
Britney now, not Britney in her day. You can't go back in time.
It's Jessica Biel.
You're not
Michael
J. Fox.
I can't go in the present time and have any of this be reality either. So what difference does it make?
You never know. You never know.
I some things you actually do know. Right? I actually know that for a fact. Sean Paul, get busy.
Well,
are we getting busy with preparations for the Washington Redskins?
That seems too
I'm
lame.
I'm sure we are, but that's definitely not the
lame,
same.
That seems way too lame. Listen, this is they're going to Washington, D.C. This has to be a capital government politics
does it
theme
because yesterday was a Sons of Anarchy theme because it was the season
premiere
the first episode of the final season last night
I have
very good
very little to do with politics so
they lived
it has
up
nothing
to
that.
They Uh-oh. Lived up to their brutal reputation last night. Let's just say that
somebody died in a horrendous fashion.
Shocking.
Oh yeah, there's somebody definitely died in a horrendous fashion. But
who's the first episode of every season now? Someone has to
Sean
die.
Yeah, but I think the guy who didn't die had it worse from the opening scene. Mm. But anyway, Sean Paul, get busy. Got anything? Didn't think so.
Y'all can mull it over as we continue.
We'll mull it.
Neither of us have a mullet.
I used to have a mullet.
You did?
Sure. Oof. Who didn't have a mullet?
Can we get a throwback Thursday picture of your mullet, please?
I never had a mullet.
I probably have some old school. I know one of my school IDs from Flagler. I had a rockin' mullet.
Led Zeppelin t-shirt too?
No, I was not. I think Winger.
Maybe. Winger?
I don't remember what shirt I was wearing at the time, but I had the full mullet going. So there you have it. By the way, on Twitter, got a couple of good suggestions. One was Derek Brown, who I was trying to think of. I'm sitting here with Tony. I'm like, who's the tight end from Notre Dame? Tony, who's the tight end from Notre Dame? And Eric Schmidt said he looked like Adonis and played like Mary. Oftentimes you go, looked like Tarzan, played like Jane.
Yeah.
I don't know if Adonis has any direct connection
to
with Mary.
To Mary, yeah, well.
But whatever, I got it. He was an all-airport pro bowler. I would agree with that. I have not looked up his numbers.
An all-airport pro bowler, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be, with the Jags, he started 14 games in 96 and caught 17 passes that year. That's not good. Right,
no. Well, that's terrible.
141 yards in 14 starts. He averaged 10 yards a start.
Yeah, baby.
Basically is what Derek Brown did. So that one also got Austin Lane as a nominee.
Ooh, that's a good one
for the All Airport Squad. Always
that's
in great
a good
shape.
One. Austin Lane's a good one.
Yep, there you go.
Great shape.
If Greg Jones sucked, you could have put him in that category.
Well,
but Greg Jones was a good player.
If you look at Greg Jones just from a numbers standpoint, then
he's a fullback.
I understand that, but he did carry the ball at times. He did have a lot of balls go off his hands in the passing game.
True.
But inside football, he was one of the better blockers in the league.
His primary role, he executed well.
He was exceptional.
But I would agree with you. Not he was a hell of a tailback at Florida State.
Yeah, before the first of two blown out knees.
Correct. Big boy, second round pick.
Huge
Anywho.
Boy. Got bigger in college, in the NFL, and love Greg Jones.
Washington felt like they couldn't protect RG3 this week. You saw stories going in that it was going to be a heavy reliance on the running game. They couldn't get anything going. They completed a high percentage of their passes, but everything was quick. You know, three-step drop, get rid of it. Don't let RG3 get pummeled by J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney for the opener. Do you think they will? They're not going to give that much respect to the Jags pass rush, but
a franchise record 5 sacks in the first half. Clearly, the Jags' pass rush is greatly improved. They'll see that on film, I would suspect. I've got to believe, though, that Washington is going to take more shots down the field. You bring in DeSean Jackson, that's the reason you have the guy.
Well, especially if you're if the Jags are playing without Jonathan Cyprien.
Right.
Which, you know, right
likely,
now...
Likely, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say right now that's likely. I think they're... I've seen some numbers. I think Ryan O'Halloran has some numbers in terms of the number percentage of guys who go in the concussion program for Jacksonville. The percentage of them who play is the following week is very, very minor in Jacksonville, or it was last year, first year under Bradley, under Gus Bradley. So I would think that, yeah, he's probably less than 50-50. I would say probably doubtful right now.
Yeah, I would think.
So, yeah, all of a sudden that changes things, you know? I mean, Evans is not Cyprien back there. And so, yeah, I would take some shots. I absolutely would take that. I mean, it's got to be one of the youngest secondaries still in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right, 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get in today. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Let's start today with Brandon on Jaguars today. Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I had two quick questions for you. One, on my fantasy team, I have Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson. Who would you guys start? And the second question I had was, do you believe the Falcons-Saints game viewership may have been pretty big in this market? Because to me, that was the best game of the first week by far.
Do we think it should be what, though? What
do we think it
as far as the viewership well, maybe the more people watching that Saints-Falcons versus Jaguars.
Did they show both of them here?
They were both on.
Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know what the viewership was. I'm sure you can find the numbers for Jacksonville for that game on Fox, but... I can't imagine it
I'd be
anywhere
shocked.
Close
right.
to what was going on with the Jags. They were up 17-0 at halftime.
It's the hometown team.
Right.
Yeah, maybe in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You probably got
maybe, but play. even in the fourth quarter, it really wasn't out of hand until there were 5 minutes left in that game.
Well, and it was a 7-point game until the scoop fumble, right?
It was a 10-point game
ten
at that
point.
Point. But it was a 7-point game when they went for it on fourth down from their own 30-yard line
minutes
with 6 minutes to play. I mean,
right.
They were in that game at that point.
Right, from that point on, did people flip over and catch overtime?
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe.
But I think the numbers would dwarf it. I don't play fantasy. Do you have any suggestions for Garçon versus D-Jax?
I would go with D-Jax over Garçon.
Would you?
Yeah, big playability.
Well, it goes back to what we were just talking about, right? To actually bring it back to Jacksonville versus Washington and a young secondary for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, Mark Long commented, I'm watching the coach's film on the Washington game last weekend against Houston right now while we're in the breaks. And even in the first half, which is basically where I'm at with this game right now, there were big plays to be had for Washington that they didn't have time to get to because RG3 was being harassed. So... for the Jaguars in this game, it is about can they get pressure with what they're going to have in the front so that Washington can't get to those big plays that they want to hit. It's why they brought in DeSean Jackson. Pierre Garçon is very good as a guy that can get deep, and he did it last year for that Washington team too. They have those two guys. They have Jay Gruden, who we all know from his time in Cincinnati. That's what he wants to do. He wants to go downfield, and last week, because of the pressure from Houston, he just wasn't able to. So... the Jags have to find a way to get that kind of pressure to get RG3 hit, or yeah, there are going to be big plays to be had for this Washington Redskins team. It's a big, big test for them, and it's not so much about the secondary. It's about those guys in the front four continuing to get the kind of pressure that they did for a half against Philadelphia.
Somebody told me, I think I overheard this somewhere, that Garçon is a good play in PPR leagues, and D-Jax is a better play in non-PPR leagues. I don't know what that means. So I would also say, why would you draft two Redskin receivers if you're going to have this choice every
right.
week? But regardless.
Yeah, I did a serious fantasy football show yesterday morning. And my Twitter feed, I'm sure you get this all the time, my Twitter feed blew up with fantasy football questions.
Immediately.
Yes. And all day long. I got LinkedIn.
That's the power of Sirius, baby.
With these two guys who run the show, and it's like, I'm not answering. Listen, I'm not going to spend hours answering your fantasy questions. That's fine.
Welcome to my world.
I know that you know what you're talking about. I know you get this all the time. That's why I mentioned it.
No, but, I do. But, hey, I like it. You know,
and you, yeah, you like it. But do you spend time on Twitter answering them?
I answer every question I get. If I don't answer it, it's because I missed it because I got 50
right.
of them in and I happen to miss one or two, but I answer every single one.
Good for you.
I get.
Good
I try
for you.
To,
That's
anyway.
Yeah.
So there you have it. bully for me. All right, Bold City Batman, I believe, on the line next. 641-1010 on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. What's up, Batman? How are you?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
We're fantastic. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. Getting ready to go to Washington to go watch these Jags do work. But,
nice.
Man, I want to know what's going on with Denard Robinson. I really ain't been able to listen to the show with my dad keeping me working so much, but what happened with him? He looked like he did a decent job the first couple carries, and he just, like, disappeared. Is he hurt or something?
No, he's not hurt. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Jeff Loggeman, Mark, and I think, you know, A, as Jeff pointed out, you got to sustain drives, pick up first downs, have more just total plays to be able to work him in the percentage you want to work him in. But still, despite that, with as many plays as they had, I was surprised that he wasn't on the field more, because when he was in there, you know, he made a couple of nice plays, just a brief glimpse, but it's what he could do with the touches that he had. I would have liked to have seen more of him, particularly because it was clear Toby Gerhardt, at least to me, wasn't 100% once he hurt that ankle.
Yeah, no question. Toby Gerhardt was hobbled, and he went back in the game. I think it says a lot about what they think about Toby Gerhardt and where he's at in terms of being the guy. I don't think it's as running back by committee as maybe some of us may have thought
right.
It would be. I really do believe it's Toby Gerhardt is far and away the lead dog, because if he wasn't, then you probably sit him out and rest him and you go with the other two guys if it's even close. But they put Toby Gerhardt back in, even hobbled. I was stunned by the lack of plays. I mean, I think he got five snaps, right, Denard? Two carries, two touches,
yep.
Five snaps. I was stunned by that. Because
two carries and a reception, right? Didn't he have
he had one reception?
Yeah,
he had a catch, too.
Yeah.
So three touches on five plays, which means that when they're putting him in there, they're putting him in there
to use him, right.
But I think if you've got him listed as your backup running back, I think the reality is he's not your backup running back.
Well, Todman got 23 snaps.
Exactly. And Todman, if something was to happen to Gerhardt, it wouldn't be the Denard Robinson show. It would be the Todman, Jordan Todman show with Denard.
Denard's role wouldn't change.
But that's the part that I'm surprised that he only got five snaps.
Yeah, I mean, especially because they're not opening up any kind of gaping holes.
And
there,
he's the
right?
one guy who can has some open field wiggle,
make a guy miss, and take it to the house. We said this yesterday. They're not going to run for 80 yards by going 20-20-20-20.
Right
now, it's good with Gerhardt. It's going to be grind out five, grind out five, grind out five, and that's fine if you're consistently grinding out those yards, especially on first down. But if you're not, you need the threat of the big play. And I thought once he's already not going to run away from all the defenders in the league. Once he hurt that ankle, it was even more of an uphill battle in that regard. So certainly a question we were asking about that as well. Maybe we'll see more of it this week. Have fun in Washington up there this week, Batman. 641-1010. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Take more of your calls as well. 641-1010. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I want you to hear from Culhane's Irish Pub in Atlantic Beach. Join us every Saturday for all the college football action while enjoying authentic Irish cuisine and pints from the Emerald Isle. With 24 beers on tap and specials all Saturday long, it's your home for college football at the beaches this fall. Featured on Food Network, Diners, Drive-In and Dive, Culhane's Irish Pub delivers five-star class with five-star staff. Make reservations early. Visit culhanesirishpub.com. Brilliant!
Hello, I'm Bill Harrell. Life experiences help you become a better attorney. When I got out of the Army, I became a deputy sheriff. I learned that when people have been in an accident, they don't ask you about money. They ask, who's going to take care of my family? Am I going to lose my job? Hope is the most important gift we can give to our clients. We can help. Things will get better. Harrell and Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Jack's Federal Credit Union was once only open to federal employees. Now, anyone in Northeast Florida can join. Save hundreds with the best loan rates in town and free checking. Visit jacksfcu.org today.
Best Fence Company of Jacksonville is the only choice when designing that custom fence for your home or business. Not only do they custom design your best fence to fit your needs and specifications, but they're the manufacturer using the industry's highest quality, Endurus Vinyl and AlumaGuard Aluminum. Homeowners Association? No worries. Our designers fabricate your fence to showcase your property, ensure HOA compliance, and customer satisfaction. Call 268-1638 for the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, your best choice.
Number one retail sales and segment for RL Polk, no fleet included.
Honda, I like it!
Jacksonville, Ford, Hyundai, and Toyota compared their vehicles to Honda, and the results are in. Number one selling car in the country, Honda. Number one selling SUV in the country, Honda. Number one selling van in the country, Honda. Number one in brand loyalty, Honda. Number one in ownership value, Honda. We appreciate Ford, Hyundai, and Toyota comparing their vehicles to Honda. But remember, Jacksonville, only a Honda is a Honda. Visit your local Honda dealer today.
1010XL 92.5 FM is brought to you by North Florida Plumbing.
Hello, this is Father Nicholas Lowe. Friends, life can be full of challenges. Sometimes what we hoped or prayed for didn't work out, and oftentimes we can think that God is punishing us or forgetting about us. But those are the devil's lies. My encouragement is to turn off the devil's lies and turn to God's truths. Stay the course, knowing that whatever comes against you is not greater than the awesome God who is inside of you.
For more inspiration, log on to saintsonthedivine.com.
Now that should take care of any problem. Wild West Guns and Gold is always there for you because even a 60-second response time is not enough. Wild West Guns and Gold only buys dealer direct and passes the savings directly on to you. Not only does Wild West Guns and Gold guarantee the best price every time, they have the best selection on everything from handguns to military assault rifles. Call 693-0777 or visit gunsforjax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com for more information.
The station with the best Jaguars coverage, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Thanks for bluegrass and jazz, for barbecue and the internet, for pizza delivery and Broadway. For everything American, GEICO would like to say thanks to the people who defend it. So if you're active duty, guard, reserve, or retired, you can qualify for a military discount on your car insurance. We've been helping military families save for over 75 years. It's our way of saying thanks.
See how much GEICO's military discounts on car insurance could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today.
If you know the difference between a CO, XO, LT, and LZ, GEICO thinks your whole unit deserves a discount. In fact, anyone who's active duty, guard, reserve, or retired could qualify for special military savings on their car insurance. After all, GEICO's been helping military families save money for over 75 years. And that's an FACT.
See how much GEICO's military discounts on car insurance could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today.
Hacker here with my friend Bobby from J. Roberts Fine Jewelry. How can you offer and guarantee the best price in Jacksonville on diamonds?
Hacker, it's easy. I show you the actual invoice. We sit down and pick a stone out, GIA certified, color, cut, clarity, and size. So come by the Diamond District of San Marco and see it for yourself.
For the best GIA certified diamonds at the best price, it's J. Roberts Fine Jewelry at 3200 Hendricks Avenue, the Diamond District.
Let's compare the BMW 320i to the Mercedes CLA. The 320i has rear-wheel drive for superior performance and handling. It's backed by no-cost maintenance and has that legendary 3-series history. Mercedes CLA doesn't offer any of those things. The BMW 320i, the ultimate driving machine. For maintenance terms and conditions, see bmwusa.com/ultimate service.
Start your search by visiting tombushbmw.com or opbmw.com and see us for a test drive today.
Join Confident Company live from the Millhouse with Ken Murrah, Chuck Elliott, and me, Ron Compton. Wednesday nights at 9 on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh.
All right.
You got this?
I don't have it, but I think I got the key that should be the key to unlock the theme of the day. This is Paul Simon, right?
And Chevy Chase.
Correct.
Right.
Come on. I'm kidding. Yeah, right. He's in the video.
It's Paul Simon. I don't even care what the name of the song
Paul
is.
Simon.
The last guy was Sean Paul.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's first name. Two guys with two first names.
So
Paul
we're
Simon,
talking about
Sean Paul.
It's also Paul.
Who are we talking about?
Huh?
also Paul.
I love when you can't get it right away. It makes me so happy.
Are we?
It is Paul twice. But that's mine is more. I don't know. I like mine better. It is Paul twice. Is it Logan Paulson? Back right. Tight end.
Niles
it's
Paul.
Not.
Niles
Paul.
Good one.
Not.
They're both there.
Is it Paul or is it the two first names?
Do I have to tell you?
No, you don't have to tell us.
It's one of those.
it's the two first names. Guys with first names.
I don't know.
Robert Griffin.
But that's not
Griffin.
Griffin, I guess.
Gryffindor. Robert.
In today's
now we got
age,
Harry Potter in here. Oh, goodness.
Could be anything. I don't think it's Harry Potter.
No.
Definitely not.
She said she's not political, so it's not has nothing to do with the Redskins' name, right?
That's
the name
correct.
Redskins? Okay.
Ron Paul. No? Okay. Rand Paul? Any of it? No? None of those words?
I'm impressed with myself. Let me just say that.
Of course you are. Of course. When are you ever not impressed with yourself?
Well, some of the music themes have been disasters recently, so.
They've been terrible.
This is
flat
true.
Out.
They
terrible.
Have been terrible.
This is true.
I know.
Especially
so.
The one the boss gave her. I remember
near
that one.
Fireable offenses. All of them. I don't have that authority.
You know what? Do it.
Should be long. Please. All right. Let's go to the phones. Ryan and Bob, two more first names, are on the line. We'll go to Ryan first, 641-1010 on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so a couple quick questions, you know. In putting things in perspective, if you had to rate and give Chad Henne and Eli Manning the golf handicap based on their performance last year, what do you think their handicap would be?
Say it again, please.
Yeah, if you guys had to give Chad Henne and Eli Manning a golf handicap, 15 to 20, I was just curious, how would you rate their handicap based on their performance of last year?
Both duffers. I mean, they're horrible.
I don't know.
No, I mean, I get what he's saying. It's honestly, it's one of the stranger questions we've ever gotten on air. But they're both 20s.
The thing with your handicap's based on like your best rounds, your best performances.
Well,
it's what
a
you're
little
capable
bit
of it.
Of yeah,
shooting.
Sure.
That's
sure.
What
which
your handicap
both,
is.
Which we've seen Chad Henne at his very best against Houston 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We've seen Eli at his very best in 07, you know,
I would say,
the Super Bowl. And I would say that, yeah, I would think that they're 20 to 30.
Yeah, when the question came up of Chad Henne and Eli Manning's handicaps, my answer would be yes.
Are they handicapped?
Yes.
They're handicapping their offense,
in
that's for sure.
In terms of being elite players in the National Football League. I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this.
I will say this. You can't put, it's not fair to put Eli Manning in the same category as Chad Henne. Eli's got two championships.
I got it. But right now, he may be a worse quarterback than Chad Henne.
He's a second-tier quarterback in this league.
Well, the problem is whereas Henne, it's what you want. It depends on what you want, right? We're just talking on the break about Gus Bradley saying, Chad Henne needs to be, I'm paraphrasing, more aggressive, go down the field more, right?
The actual quote was, he needs to be more explosive-minded, take chances, and have no fear.
Think, throw the ball down the field. Take shots. Take chances, right? I think Eli does that, but he also takes some really bad chances and results in a very high interception total. So, you know, whereas Chad is not as explosive, certainly, throughout the preseason and the regular season so far, just one game of the regular season, really hasn't, that I can recall, really come close to turning the football over. You know, so it's a different way to, you know, death by a thousand slow cuts or death by one big laceration from Eli throwing a pick six.
Yeah, it's what you're asking your quarterback to do. Are you asking your quarterback to be efficient and not turn the ball over, or are you asking your quarterback to be a playmaker and take a few chances and we'll live with the results?
Yeah. So I don't know what they're handling.
Chad has been taught in previous years to be efficient and don't turn it over and don't
shoot at that sucker pin. Yeah, Eli's going to shoot at the sucker pin.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you're going to hit
absolutely.
The sucker pin.
Yeah.
And when you do, the ball sticks to the caddy's hat as he falls down on the green 6 inches from the hole. Is
right.
that the right
so
analogy
where we,
for David
where
Tyree?
Are we going with this?
Go with the David Tyree play. Sometimes you shoot at the sucker pin, don't you? It works
Eli's,
out.
Eli's always aimed at the pin, and probably Chad's going to the safe part of the green.
Right. So Eli ends up in a lot more bunkers and also makes more birdies.
Sure.
There you go. Their handicaps may be
score,
identical.
They're, that's the problem. And their final, I was going to say, final score might not be all that different.
All right, 641-1010, thanks for the call, Ryan.
And they're both 0-1, by the way.
They are both 0-1.
So
that is correct.
There's that.
But Eli still is 2-0.
By the way,
in the Super Bowl ring category.
So that's a big theme this week. Redskins 0-1, Jags 0-1. Both teams were horrible last year. I think with Jags finished 4-12, would the Redskins finish 5-11 or 4-12?
Also, sure.
4-12 also. Yeah. So nobody wants to go 0-2. 0-2 in this league is pretty big hole. Not huge, not insurmountable, but it's a big hole. So, I think there's a huge difference between 1-1 and 0-2.
I would agree.
Yeah, so, that's a big week.
It's absolutely a big week, especially because despite the fact that Houston and Tennessee got victories, I think most people are still feeling that Indy is the class of the division. They just happen to run into Denver week one. Well, they get Philly, who just knocked off the Jags on Monday Night Football in week two, and hopefully Philly straightened out the issues that they had at halftime. And, in terms of going forward now, you want them to light the scoreboard up on Monday night. So
sure. And Indy looked like they straightened some things out. I mean, they had a pretty miserable first half,
they
too.
They did as well, right.
And really kind of found themselves and kind of abandoned that rushing attack.
Andrew Luck has been uncanny in the short amount of time that he has been able to post as many comeback victories as he has. Now, you have to be in position. That means you have to be trailing. You have to have either a bad enough defense or an offense that has screwed up enough up to that point. But still, plenty of guys are in position within a score in plenty of fourth quarters who don't ultimately lead their teams back to victory. So right. He's had a bit of a knack for that. Let's go to Bob next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, gents. How are you guys doing? First
good
of all, Tony and Mike, I haven't talked to you in 2 or 3 months, so it's good to talk to you again because I've had my own medical things, but that's the thing. Speaking of Paul Simon, since you were talking about him, you guys are way too young to remember. Before they were Simon and Garfunkel, they were a one-hit wonder known as Tom and Jerry.
There you go.
Did I know that?
Useless information, but
the things you know.
Yeah,
it's great. No, it's not useless, Bob. If I get one day, I may be on some trivia show, and I will pull that out and I will give you full on air credit for that.
Oh, that's okay. I wish I could remember the name of the song. It had something to do with a ball, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
Red rubber ball. No. All right, moving on.
Okay. Yeah, moving right along. I called to share info with Lauren and wanted to share it with you. That was in the news last night, not on the sports channels. Haven't heard it mentioned at all.
They're
wondering as to why Ray Rice was allowed into this intervention program instead of being charged with a felony. It's just coincidence that the prosecutor in New Jersey is a Rutgers alum, which, of course, is where Ray Rice played football. So I just wondered about your thoughts about that, because I've heard nobody mention it yet.
I did not know he was a Rutgers alum, and you wonder, I'm not saying that couldn't have played a role. I think the authorities did come out and say that he was treated the same way all first-time offenders, because they're clearly getting heat now, and I heard something to that effect this morning.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's true, and that doesn't make it any less disgusting if it is.
I'm with you. If you had access to the video, which presumably you did. By the way, who was the person interviewing Goodell yesterday? Was it Norma
ABC News
O'Donnell or something? I thought she asked a lot of good pointed questions, but she asked about the meeting between Ray Rice and Jhené and Roger Goodell and what went on in that meeting, and he said something to the effect of, well, we wanted to let them know that there are programs in place and assistance to help them, and we wanted to be there and be very supportive. No. The point is, what went on in terms of what did he tell you happened
right
in that elevator? And then he also said, well, we couldn't get the video because it was an ongoing criminal investigation. Well, the criminal investigation was closed in May. It was done in May. You suspended him in July. So there was no ongoing criminal investigation. It was over with. They had already adjudicated it. He went into the pretrial diversion program. Did you just give up on getting the videotape? Did you take a whitewashed version of events from Ray Rice and Jhené?
At face value,
right. I mean,
and the league's position on it the entire time was, we're waiting for not only the legal process to play out, but until we have all the facts and information that we feel like we need before we make a decision on any suspension for Ray Rice. And that's why there's been so much heat on the league, because even the video we saw before this week with the aftermath of what happened in that elevator, everyone knew that something pretty bad had happened in the LA. It was pretty clear that that had happened. We had heard people talk about, yes, they had had the opportunity to see that video. People had seen the video, so how could the league not have had the opportunity to see it? And the fact that Ray Rice got two games became this firestorm that the league has had to deal with now for 2 months. And instead of dealing with it the correct way, they've had to go these back channels on how to do it. The video finally surfaces this week, and it feels like the league has been using it as an excuse to finally say, all right, let's get it right now, because we can, because we didn't get it right 3 months ago.
Right. A secondary issue that is I've noticed here that really I don't think that many people are talking about is the way some of these NFL quote-unquote insiders cover the league, and we take what they say as gospel. Peter King wrote 2 months ago that the league had seen the videotape, okay?
Right.
Peter King is the most widely read NFL column in America. He is, many people consider him the league's direct mouthpiece, that he is very pro NFL, pro Goodell, and so he's basically boilerplate PR copy that he prints for them. It's a hyperbole, but that's how people feel about Peter King. Well, no one from the league ever contacted Peter King. Peter King had a mea culpa this week and said, well, I talked to a source,
a third party
yeah, who said he was, quote, sure the league must have seen it.
Right.
What, you took that and then you went with the league has seen it? There's no confirmation. It was, this guy didn't even say, I know they saw it. He goes, well, they must have seen it. That was his sourcing, and he wrote it as gospel that the league had seen it. 2 days ago, Chris Mortensen is on Monday as his story's breaking. He goes, well, I know two people in the Ravens organization have seen the video. Well, the Ravens are denying that anyone in the league has seen the video.
Of course they're denying. But well, if you go back to Deadspin did a very good story about this, and if you go back to the July tweets from Mortensen and Schefter and certainly
Peter King
and others, but those three guys specifically, they tweeted in July almost play by play of what happened inside the elevator.
Mortensen
so
had clearly seen the video.
Getting, or Mortensen talked to someone who had seen the video. So
correct.
Mortensen had clearly got what happened inside the video to the point where it was he hit her and she hit the rail and then she was unconscious.
Correct.
So to me, somebody is lying.
All right, but if that's the case, and if Mortensen has intelligence and people inside and his sources he feel are right
but
about
but he's not going to burn his sources here.
Okay, you don't have to burn your sources, but shouldn't that be leading every NFL discussion on SportsCenter right now? Hey, I know what they're saying, but I stand by what my sources say. This would be the biggest story. If the only thing that would get Roger Goodell in serious trouble over this is if you prove
if it was a cover
that
up.
If there's
it
a
was
cover,
a cover up.
Up.
Absolutely.
That they've seen it. If Ozzie Newsome has seen it, they're all on watch now. Because if it's ever proven that anyone in that Ravens organization has seen that video, they're done, in my opinion. I think they're done. Because they have lied on such a scale about this issue, which is just a hot bed kind of issue right now. They have taken the stance, they've built that big wall and said nobody on this side of the wall has seen that thing until Monday of this week, questioning his sources, because I haven't heard that storyline pushed at all in the last 36 hours.
Again, it depends on who your source is and who you're willing to burn here, or who you would end up burning at the stake. You got to be careful. I mean, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, and if this is the hand that's feeding you on a regular basis, why would you ever, if you're Chris Mortensen, want to go throw this person under the bus?
Ryan O'Halloran tweeting out a few minutes ago that Gus Bradley has told Redskin reporters, I'm assuming on the weekly conference call with the opposing team media, that Jonathan Cyprien has not been cleared for contact yet. This is not anything break, just a continuation of where he had been, but that's an update. So, again, it's Wednesday, hasn't been cleared for contact. The great likelihood with the violence of the hit, just from a layman's perspective.
Sure.
I've seen look, you can get a concussion from a lot less than that, but that was a full speed blow. Like I've rarely seen a helmet hitting the turf before. So
I would be stunned if he played. I'd be stunned if he played this week.
I'm with you. I'd be absolutely shocked.
And when you look at this franchise, when you look at Clint Session and LaRon Robinson, and certainly some other guys who I'm missing, somebody
Cecil.
I just think it's week one, week two. I just didn't think that you're going down a slippery slope here. You go throw a guy back out there who had a pretty significant concussion. You might ruin his season or maybe his career. Who knows?
Let's take a break. This date in football history coming up, the Honda Drive around the NFL as well. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Got a few little odds and ends that happened on this date in football history. Yesterday, Tony, we said the 4th American Football League made its debut on this date. That was the one we ultimately know as the AFL, which merged with the National Football League. There were three previous versions of the AFL, and number two debuted today as well in 1937 as Los Angeles shut out Pittsburgh 21-0 in that one. Couldn't keep that team either out in L.A. when it was all said and done. Don Maynard, who at the time was Pro Football's leading receiver, was traded on this date in 1973 from the Jets to the St. Louis Rams. I guess that would have been the St. Louis Cardinals at the time, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think you're right. I think it would have been. 1937, by the way, speaking of the Rams, the Cleveland Rams played their first NFL game and got off to a rousing 0-28 start as far as that went. And I had a couple more here. Let me see. Gale Sayers retired on this date in 1972, played, what was it, 6 years in the NFL,
yep.
I think, four spectacular ones. He and Sandy Koufax are kind of the ones that are held up as, you know, just brilliance that shone so brightly for a short period of time they couldn't be denied their rightful place among the greats of all time. And that's a name that gets brought up when Terrell Davis's NFL Hall of Fame credentials get raked over. And in 1992 in Minneapolis, a federal jury struck down Pro Football's limited free agency system. Woohoo! Reggie White and company took full advantage from that point forward. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, whose mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate for the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars are getting ready for their trip up to Washington on Sunday. We already knew that the Redskins would be without safety Brandon Merriweather against the Jags after week one. Washington has taken a couple more hits to that starting 22. Defensive tackle Barry Cofield has been placed on the injured reserve with the designation to return after suffering a high ankle sprain against the Houston Texans. And tight end Jordan Reed is dealing with a hamstring strain that, according to his head coach, Mr. Gruden, could keep him out for some time, which probably includes Sunday against the Jags. Cleveland Browns running back Ben Tate expected to miss the next 2 to 4 weeks with a knee sprain. The Browns had Terrence West rush for 100 yards on just 16 carries Sunday against the Steelers, while Isaiah Crowell had 5 carries for 32 yards and 2 touchdowns as the Browns almost got the win despite being down at 1.27-3. And New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has lifted the state's ban on sports betting at racetracks and casinos in the state. The NFL, for reasons that I still don't understand, is very opposed to the expansion of sports betting, expecting to fight back against Governor Christie in the state of New Jersey. Apparently, the league is okay with millions, if not billions, of dollars that changes hands in fantasy football every year.
Hey, they you watch yourself, pal. It's not gambling. It's a game of skill, not chance, as defined by law.
Does the league...
I have to tell you that.
Does the league have a Red Zone channel that's completely dedicated basically just fantasy owners?
Is that fantasy, Tony, or is that just fans are interested in scoring
They're making
plays.
Money on fantasy
and
football.
And, by the way, they continue to aggressively try to expand their game into England, where is there any country that has more lax sports betting laws than England?
Tony, I think clearly if there were going to be a permanent franchise in London, the British Parliament would have to overturn those gambling laws
clearly.
First.
National Football League,
the NFL
I don't understand.
Has that kind of pull, Mark, don't you think? Tell jolly old England, that's enough of what's going on there. That's the Honda drive.
What happens in London stays in London. That'll be their their motto.
Did you see what Adam Silver, you know, the new NBA commissioner, you see when he came out like a week ago and had some comments about gambling and legalized gambling? He said he supports it everywhere. He's like, you know what? I got no problem with it. He goes, it brings interest to our game. I don't have any problem with legalized sports betting on the NBA, which is a complete departure from David Stern.
Which is why they've had their all-star game in Vegas, which is why they play in Vegas all the time. They're not afraid of Vegas. The NFL's afraid of Vegas.
When I was a kid, I want to say this was like early 80s, okay? Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, then retired for about a decade or so, each had a stake or were front men for some casino or casinos in Las Vegas. And if I recall correctly, they got banned from baseball. All they were like the front men, PR guys, like, hey, I'm Willie Mays for Caesar's Palace, that kind of thing.
Right.
And that association got them banned from any, you know, they could go to ball games, but they couldn't be assistant coaches, honorary coaches, any of that stuff for a while.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy to think in today's day and age. And, yes, doing all the shows on SiriusXM, we have memorized by heart the little mantra about fantasy sports being a game of skill, not chance.
The NFL's two-faced here, right? Because on one hand, you know, gambling drives interest.
Sure.
On the other, and they say, oh, we don't want any part of it. But on the other hand, part of the reason they have such a forthcoming injury report is because of gambling.
Well, and so that is supposed to, though,
it's the principal reason they have.
Right, but it's supposed to be
supposedly competitive advantage.
Whether they want to admit it or not, that's really why.
Sure, why else would you have it?
Right.
Right, but
competitive advantage. I mean, you want to be able to, you want to know who's going to play and who's not going to play, so you can prepare a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, but is that necessary information, you know, to stage the game? I think it would be more fun for the other team to have no idea, oh, man, we prepared for this.
We thought LeSean McCoy was going to play, and see, we got
Snookered. But it's so you don't have the influence of organized crime getting, you know, paying the trainer for inside scoop. You know, like,
right.
Hey, this guy's ankle's really worse than it is. And who knows? Maybe they've approached guys like that anyway. But, you know, any association with that, you're going to get banned. And in today's day and age with the players make so much money compared to years past that, it's kind of dumb to risk it for. How much would you have to be paid to throw a football game?
Well, and the interesting thing is I would think it's a lot more difficult to throw a football game than it would be a basketball game. I would think if you're a star on any NBA team, you'd be pretty easy to throw a basketball game. Real easy.
Easy.
Hey,
but if you're a star in the NBA, you've got a guaranteed contract.
Oh,
you're making more than $10 million a year.
Way more than $10 million.
Right. So you
got
to pay me an absurd amount of money. And if you were going to do that, let's say you paid LeBron James $100 million. It would take something like that.
But then you got $100 million bet on it, too.
Right. And then as soon as that happens, they take the game off the board because they'd flag it. It'd be very tough, I think. Now, I'm not saying no game has ever been influenced, but it's probably more by, you know, the backup point guard who – instead of having 7 assists and 2 turnovers, just happens to have
7 turnovers
off night,
and 2 assists, right?
You know?
Yeah.
let's go to the phones again, 641-1010. Clint, you're next up on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Pretty good, Mike, Mark, Tony. Nice to talk to you guys.
Same to you. What's up?
I was thinking about your Tom Bush question of the day, and I answered your question already on Twitter, but now I want to go the opposite direction. The thing about a weakness that our defense still has that Philly, I wouldn't say exposed, but showed that it still hasn't been addressed, and that's the linebackers and safeties' inability to get quality coverage on the opposing tight end, because we got beat for the second touchdown of the game that Philly scored, and then I can think of at least 3 times that Philly converted third downs with wide-open passes to tight ends. We were told Telvin Smith was going to be an answer to that question. I'm not placing the blame on a rookie, but obviously we still have the defensive efficiency. We can't cover tight ends.
Let me ask you before we comment on that, what did you answer as far as the biggest advantage for the Jaguars? What matchup?
I think our D-line will stuff their run game pretty well because McCoy is McCoy. He's going to make big plays.
Right.
But for the most part, we had tackles in the backfield on McCoy. We had tackles in the backfield on Sproles. And there was a lot of carries where if they got 2 yards, they were lucky.
Yeah, Alfred Morris is not the same type of back as McCoy, who you can have 2 guys make penetrating moves, and he can still make them both miss. So, Clint, thank you for the call. Jeff Loggeman yesterday, I mean, I'm not making excuses. Clearly, the tight end's been, or covering tight end's been an issue for this franchise for a while.
For at least, 2 years.
And look, first, Telvin Smith will help, but it was his first game, and he got worked on a few plays. Jeff Loggeman, though, yesterday, Tony, I mean, he's like, look, you got to understand how tough that is as a linebacker.
I think when you go back and watch Telvin Smith in that game, that he played pretty well. I mean, honestly, I think he played pretty well, and I think that he did. There was a difference for the Jacksonville Jaguars as far as covering the middle of the field with Telvin Smith. I think that he did have an impact on the game. You see the couple times that McCoy
shook him back.
You know, shook him. And McCoy's going to do that to some guy. And a guy that's as aggressive with his speed as Telvin Smith is, he's still a rookie. and he ran himself out of the gap on the one play particularly, and then he just got that jump cut that is just astounding from LeSean McCoy on another play. But if you watch him in coverage, look, Telvin played pretty well in that game, and now they're going up against a Washington team that doesn't have Jordan Reed. I mean, right. He would be a matchup nightmare for this team if he was healthy coming into this game, but he's not. So now it's Logan Paulson or Niles Paul that they're going to have to stop a tight end, and that's a much easier task.
Paulson Paul, the two tight ends?
Right.
Huh? It's kind of like a music theme almost, right? Huh? Sean Paul and Paul Simon? Anywho, you know, Logman has talked about, you know, that kind of read option look where they give you where Foles sticks the ball out there, and here comes McCoy, who's the league's leading rusher, and he's a dangerous weapon. And what are you supposed to do as a linebacker when you see that ball? You've got to respect LeSean McCoy first. I'm sure the defense is predicated on make sure we stop the run, don't give up anything easy in the running game or any big plays. And so you freeze, and he says, and then Foles pulls it out, and as a linebacker, you're just going, oh, crap. Because you're almost not necessarily charging, but you're taking that first step towards the line of scrimmage. Meanwhile, Ertz is running straight past you, yeah. And what are you supposed to do?
You're just turning and running.
Right,
that's
you turn
all
and
you
run
do.
With Ertz initially, yeah. And they hand it to McCoy, then your back is to him as he's picking up 10, 15 yards.
And you're not talking about some scrub tight end here. I mean, this is a guy they drafted, a guy they had
huge hopes for.
Yeah, huge hopes for
coming
in this
out of
offense.
Stanford. They say he's going to be their primary red zone weapon this year, and they raved about the summer that he had.
So yeah, so you know you get beat by him. You know, let's not necessarily panic here until. You know, and they're not going to have to face Jordan Reed, it
correct.
Doesn't look like, in week two. So let's not panic here until we see it become a definitive trend with a new linebacking core.
All right, let's take a quick break. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll get more calls coming up at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, week two of the football season kicking off tomorrow. Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Going to square off. Always fantasy fortune to be found, no matter what game it is. And if you're playing with FanDuel, you can mix it up and have that variety on a week-to-week basis. You know what? You had Ben Tate, and he's out 2 to 4 weeks. You're bumming right now. It's a waste of a draft pick you're looking at. Well, not with FanDuel. It's weekly fantasy football, real cash games, and you can win real money with immediate cash payouts, no upfront fees whatsoever. You learned a little bit about the first week of the season. Maybe some of those picks you took in the first round wouldn't go there anymore. Mix it up with FanDuel. It's salary cap format. Everybody's got a price. Fit them into your budget. You can have practically anyone in the National Football League. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter my first name, Mike. And if you do, they're going to match you dollar for dollar on your initial deposit up to $200. That's free cash. You can start playing, start winning. I've won money at FanDuel. So have hundreds of thousands of other users. So what are you waiting for? It's the new wave in fantasy sports. Weekly fantasy football, the only place to do it, FanDuel.com.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, everything you need to know about your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. It's all about catching more fish. The Florida Roads Fishing Forecast with Captain Kevin.
I'm going fishing.
Thursday nights at 8, brought to you by Ring Power and Beach Marine on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, the electrifying return of the most potent, explosive force in American music history, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks returns to Jacksonville's Veterans Memorial Arena Friday, October 10th, Saturday, October 11th, and Sunday, October 12th. All shows 7:30 p.m. with very special guest star, Trisha Yearwood. On sale Friday, September 12th, 10 a.m. sharp. 8-ticket limit. Tickets all inclusive, $68. Buy tickets only at Ticketmaster.com or call 800-745-3000. Garth Brooks, the event of events.
Hello, I'm Bill Harrell. Clients are the best judge of our success. That's why we have hundreds of client thank yous on our website. If you've been in an accident, visit HarrellandHarrell.com. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Hi. Justin Football, I mean Justin Moore, and game on at George Moore Chevrolet. The power of Plaid makes it easy in the tailgate zone. And here at the Plaid Palace, we've got the game changer in Jacksonville. Automatic and leather, no charge. New George Moore Chevrolet Cruze with automatic and leather, no charge. Now, $16,988. And tons of tailgates in the tailgate zone. Silverado savings go all the way. New 2014 Silverado.
Silverado 1500 double cab, $299. That's right, $299 a month. Whether your team wears orange and blue or garnet and gold, whatever. Let the power of Plaid put you in a brand new Chevy in the tailgate zone. Game on at George Moore Chevrolet on Atlantic Boulevard, just east of I-295. Online, morechevy.com. It's all good in the zone. Need I say more?
For details, log on morechevy.com and click specials. All offers with approved credit. Find new roads.
I can't take this hard water anymore.
Spots on your dishes or iron staining in your bathrooms driving you crazy? Take control by calling Florida Pump Service. Since 1948, Florida Pump Service has been providing quality water treatment systems and filters for Northeast Florida. Whether you need a water softener or you want to remove sulfur and iron stains, Florida Pump Service has what you need. With fast, reliable 24-hour service, call 904-269-0202 or click FloridaPumpService.com. Florida Pump Service. We make water happen.
If you've been told that you need a total joint replacement or that you're too young and need to wait in pain, Northeast Florida Orthopedics offers minimally invasive surgical options for your hip, knee, or shoulder. Benefits may include a smaller incision, less pain, faster recovery, and less time in the hospital. Check us out online or call 904-635-1901. 635-1901. We offer the most advanced techniques for joint preservation, allowing you to keep more of your own cartilage. Go to NEFLortho.com and call today.
Sterling Roofing. The proofness in a Sterling Roof.
Roof.
Hey, this is Tony of Tony D's Pizza. When you want authentic New York pizza and pasta, come to my place, Tony D's Pizza. If you can't make it in, we can deliver it to you guys. Tony D's Pizza. Bay Meadows and 9A.
Sports Talk with an Attitude. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
More than 700 quick lane tire and auto centers across this country, and she chooses mine.
I need tires, all season, and at a great price.
She wanted it all, but even she was surprised once I crimped the numbers. Soon her Taurus was ready to roll.
Say, you're good, mister.
Murphy, ma'am, at your service, even on weekends.
With great prices on 13 name brand tires and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Hello, this is Father Nicholas Lowe. Friends, life can be full of challenges. Sometimes what we hoped or prayed for didn't work out. And oftentimes we can think that God is punishing us or forgetting about us. But those are the devil's lies. My encouragement is to turn off the devil's lies and turn to God's truths. Stay the course, knowing that whatever comes against you is not greater than the awesome God who is inside of you.
For more inspiration, log on to stjohnthedivine.com.
Ballou here for Advantage Home Builders. This summer, the perfect opportunity for you to finally move into that brand new home. How about Panther Creek right now? You can get a new home starting in the 100s. The grand opening, phase two, call them right now, 607-5917. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or it's just the time for you to move in and get yourself a new home. Call 607-5917. Call Advantage Home Builders today.
Claude Nolan Cadillac means luxury, performance, and service you can count on. Since 1905, Claude Nolan Cadillac has served as the preferred Jacksonville Cadillac dealer. A pillar of the community, Claude Nolan Cadillac has been owned by the same family from day one, so you know you can count on them to take care of you when looking for your next vehicle. They also have more master technicians than any other dealer in the area. Claude Nolan Cadillac is located on 4700 Southside Boulevard. Go see them today.
I'm Paul Posluszny, and you're listening to the best Jaguars coverage in Jacksonville on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Metro Rooter brings you Jaguars Today every Wednesday for all-size plumbing jobs in the home, commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it. If you've got a plumbing issue, Metro Rooter has a solution for you with same-day service that includes the weekend. The right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville since 1978. MetroRooter.com is where you'll find them on the web, or give them a call at 695-1911 for all your plumbing concerns. And we hope you don't have any, but if you do, and ultimately you will, if you're a homeowner, I think I need to call Metro Rooter because I got an old toilet at the house, and it's groaning a little when I require it to work. So I have a feeling one of these days it's just going to just give out on me, maybe at the wrong moment. probably need to get them in there. I'm a procrastinator though, Tony. I'll wait till the last possible second. You know, that's how I am. But yeah. Give Metro Rooter a call, 695-1911.
We'll get the disgusting story to prove it if that day
Oh, I'll tell you all about it. There's no question. You want me to tell you about my MRI on my knee today? By the way, my ligaments are phenomenal for a 45-year-old man.
Way to go.
ACL, PCL, MCL, LCL, they're all good. Got a little meniscus tear, and I jammed my knee into the ground. They think they may have cleared it up. They gave me a shot of something. It's not cortisone. It's something else. They're hoping it's over with. Otherwise, me and Clowney are going under the knife together, and we'll both be back in 4 to 6 weeks. Guy goes, now, do you have a very active job? No. No, I don't. I sit on my butt all morning. That's my job, all right? And I flap my gums. Let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. Unless you want to, do you have any further to add about the sorority photo?
No, I just sent you guys the pic. I sent both of you guys. I texted both of you guys the pic while you guys were chatting there.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So
I'll be on the lookout for that.
University of Florida sorority went a little viral the other day with a pic about a little topless pic.
Good for them.
But yeah, if you missed that, you should check that out.
It'll be on. I'll forward that to you.
Just tweet it
to everyone.
Why don't you tweet it?
This is what happens because I'm over here and not there. Isn't it?
You think that if you were here, I wouldn't do the things that I do?
I don't think you would.
Okay, wow. You don't know me nearly like
I'm a good influence because I am a University of Florida graduate.
By the way,
are you a University of Florida sorority?
Sorority.
You guys have met me. Absolutely not. I am not half girly enough to be a sorority girl.
I don't believe that.
I believe it.
Yeah, you got the wardrobe.
No, I do not have the wardrobe. I don't have enough white dresses. I don't have enough hose. I don't have enough heels. Not the sorority girls. There's anything wrong with that.
She said hose. All right, we're moving on.
Yeah. By the way, Paul Rogers, Drifters. So clearly Paul.
Yeah, I still got nothing. Paul Bear Bryant?
It's not Pozlesny's birthday, is it?
No, God, please say
no. It is not Pozlesny's birthday.
But
it does have to do with Pozlesny.
Oh, boy.
What's today's Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day?
Where did the Jags have the biggest advantage over the Redskins?
The best matchup, yeah. I'm going with Pozlesny. Against Alfred Moore.
The theme of the day is your vote for the best match.
Oh my gosh.
It is.
Who loves Paul Pozlesny more, Lauren or Jessica?
No, I'm going strictly matchup.
I think it's Jessica.
You think it's Jessica?
Yeah, it's absolutely Jessica. But I'm going strictly matchup. I was going to go Chris Clemens, but there weren't.
Girl.
That's right. Bro-wanko
girl.
There weren't enough good Chris songs, so I went with Paul.
Kay? All right, fine. That's what we'll go with there. You could have gone with Polish music, because Pozlesny, ski. Is he Polish? I don't know. He's not a ski. He's a knee.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm so disheartened right now by
what?
The whole music theme.
Why?
Sorry. I don't know.
Mark expects more on Wednesday.
I do.
More thought put into
it.
Not waiting to find out what the question of the day is before formulating the music theme.
Whatever.
Did we do this date in football yet?
We did.
I missed that.
I know. You usually nap.
What was I doing?
Napping, as usual.
I was finding photos.
You were surfing sorority photos. Let's go to Jerome next up on the phone line, 641-1010. Good morning, Jerome.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
I was just want to see what y'all's opinion is about the receiver core, because do you really see Cecil Shorts being in there, like, you know what I'm saying, next year? Because I think you kind of like got Hearns now. Is Hearns even starting, first of all? Is he even starting this week?
He started last week. I don't see why he wouldn't, coming off of four-catch-two-touchdown game.
So do you think he's going to take over that number one position, and then you'll have Marquise and then Robinson and then Ace and then, you know, Cecil will be, you think he's going to just go off?
I think if Cecil is healthy, Cecil is going to be a starting wide receiver for this team opposite Marquise Lee, because he's the first second round pick. Robinson's missed so much time that he's just a little behind. They're going to work him in slowly. Played a lot on third downs in the opener. Hearns has earned some playing time. There's no question. But as long as Cecil's healthy, at least this year, at least the first half of this year, Allen Hearns will be a backup.
The idea of a one receiver in this offense is a bit of a myth to me. I mean, they're too young to pronounce that Marquise Lee is the one or Allen Hurns is the one. Cecil Shorts can't stay on the field enough, and we know that he's more of a complimentary guy. And that's why they go out and they get Marquise Lee. That's why they go and they get Allen Robinson, because long-term they view Cecil Shorts, if he's going to be a part of this team going forward, as more of a complimentary receiver. When he gets back and he's healthy, look, he's the only veteran on the team that Chad Henne feels comfortable with. So, yeah, he's going to be on the field as a starting wide receiver. Nothing that happened last Sunday is going to do anything about that. But it just means that they're going to run more three wide receiver sets, and they'll be able to put Cecil out there instead of Mike Brown or instead of Allen Robinson, who really didn't have much to do on Sunday because he's not comfortable with the playbook yet. That's the difference, is that you would have Cecil instead of Mike or Allen Robinson on the field right now in the early part of the season.
I'll say this, though. I don't think either of these quarterbacks, whoever's playing at any given moment, has any lack of confidence in Allen Hurns.
So, me either.
You know what I mean? I mean, I think they'll go out there and they'll use him much. I think they'll be aggressive with him early in the football game. I don't think at this point, I mean, how much history does Henne have with Cecil? Cecil's missed a lot of time, not only this offseason, but just throughout the regular seasons as well, you know? I mean, he's got more than he would with an undrafted rookie. I get that.
Well, but you could see it even in camp, Mike. I mean, when Cecil was on the field, Henne is very, very comfortable with Cecil Shorts. We saw it through last season. When those two guys are on the field together, there is a connection between Chad Henne and Cecil Shorts,
didn't,
and it can't hurt him.
Did you get, though, last season, the feeling at times like Cecil was not even that big a part of the game plan when he was out there at times? Because I did. I
don't know that I ever got that feeling.
I would look up and I'd be like, why is Cecil Shorts not in the game in multi-receiver sets at times? And, you know, I don't know. I guess I would have expected his numbers to be even a little bit more prolific, considering what they have as options, or had as options to throw to.
I know this. I know that the talk in this building is they think Cecil will catch 80 balls this year if he's healthy. And, so that just gives you an idea of what they think of Cecil compared to everybody else. And I think they do see those other guys as the future of the receiving core. But right now they see Cecil Shorts as clear, far and away, the number one guy.
If you're Dave Caldwell,
mm-hmm.
How eager are you to sign Cecil Shorts to an extension right now? Now, obviously, if you can get him way below what you think the market's going to be because of the injury concerns, but doesn't that have to be the foremost thought in your mind? This guy has yet to make it through a season for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're going to ask him to do, down the road, you're probably going to ask him to do less in terms of, now, I'm not saying he still can't stay healthy because of, you know, hamstring, groin, calf, whatever it's been. But, I would say that the thought process going forward is he's your slot guy. That you got Hurns on, I mean, you got Marquise Lee on one side, Robinson on the other, and he was your slot guy. Now Hurns has changed some, probably maybe changed the thinking, because now all of a sudden Hurns has proven that he can be, you know, wherever, whenever you need him to be. So are you even excited to, Matt, listen, are you excited to go sign? I don't even know.
If you're going to put the over-under at 80 right now for Cecil Shorts, I will take the under so fast.
Sure.
It's not even
sure,
funny.
And most everybody would.
Right. I think the Jags would if they're being realistic with
but
themselves.
But you can't have it. I mean, listen, in this league with the number of injuries, you know, people talk about, well, you know, just let Cecil walk and you go with these three and you go, no, you try to keep all four of them together. You got three rookies who are on rookie contracts for at least the next 3 years. So why wouldn't you pay Shorts a three-year deal at $3 or $4 million a year? Whatever you want to pay him, you can pay him. You got all the cap space in the world. And then for 3 or 4 years, you've got an unbelievably great locker room guy, an unbelievably great veteran in that room. Cecil Shorts is one of the best guys they have in this locker room in terms of leadership, work ethic, things like that. You would be silly not to try to re-sign him just from a mentoring standpoint for these three rookies for the next 2 or 3 years.
I don't know what the number is. $3 to $4 million a year. I mean, if I'm Cecil, I don't think anything gets done during the season, because I think if it got done now, it's the team has way too much leverage in the situation, right? I mean, he just can't stay healthy up until this point. So if I'm Cecil and I go out and have that kind of season, let's say I play the next 15 games and I catch 70-ish balls, whatever the case may be, I'm going to want to get paid probably more than they're willing to pay me if they're thinking of me as the third receiver in a four receiver group.
Sure. And there's a lot of it doesn't take a, you know, rocket scientist. Look around the league. There's a number of teams that don't have a quality number two or three as Cecil Shorts, you know. So would Cleveland be willing to take a runner on Cecil, a hometown guy, going back to Cleveland? I believe they probably would, to be a number two there, assuming Josh Gordon ever gets back and is, you know, and can stay, you know, off the suspended list.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We will come back. We'll look at the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight, asking you which matchup works most in the Jaguars' favor this week as they take on Washington. We'll also check in with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute injury report. Get y'all caught up on the latest there as well. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey for Dandy Foods. Getting to be about lunchtime now. I got about 30 minutes. You don't really have to think it over though. I'll let you think it over for about 10 seconds. You're going to go to your local convenience store, pop in, and it'll take you about 10 seconds to locate that cold case where you're going to find delicious Dandy sandwiches and the new Anytime Deli line from Dandy as well. They always get delivered fresh, so never frozen. That's because it's a local company that makes them. The Thompson family's been doing it since 1958, and the quality of this Anytime Deli line is absolutely out of this world. Whether you like turkey, ham, Italians, Cubans, roast beef, you name it, they've got something for everybody's taste with all your favorite salads as well. Tuna salad, chicken salad, egg salad. They've got it all on fresh baked bread, most of that baked locally as well. It's a recipe for a great sandwich. So don't waste your time in the drive-thru line at lunch. Pop into your local convenience store, look for the Dandy line, and look for the new Anytime Deli line right next to them in your convenience store cold case. Do what I do. Make yours a Dandy for lunch today.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University.
Break the huddle, man!
Jaguar coaches, Jaguar players, Jaguar experts, live from Everbank Field. So yeah, you're in the right spot. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Kevin Kaplan, head team physician for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and one of 31 physicians at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the proud sports medicine providers for the Jaguars since 1994. JOI has always been a leader in orthopedics for Northeast Florida. State-of-the-art laser physical therapy, robotic hip and knee replacements, and cutting-edge arthroscopy are only a few examples of what we use to keep you in the game. We are affiliated with Baptist Health, and we are Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Find us online at joi.net.
I'm Jeff Middlecoff with Trustline Mortgage. My business partners, Alan Tyre, Bill Pappas, and Ken Rimley, are amazed how some people choose their mortgage company. After all, it's the biggest financial decision most people will ever make. Don't believe the big bank theory. They may think they created the mortgage, but at Trustline, we've perfected it. Call Trustline Mortgage today. We're celebrating 25 years in business. We use local appraisers, and we make common sense decisions. We offer 90% jumbo loans for physicians, CPAs, and dentists with no mortgage insurance. Our bounce back mortgage is awesome. If you've recently had a foreclosure, short sale, even a bankruptcy, we can help if you have 20% to put down. Our 80-10-10 loans avoid mortgage insurance altogether and still get you 90% financing. Trustline Mortgage. Real estate agents and builders depend on us every day. Shouldn't you? Call Trustline Mortgage at 381-LOAN. That's 381-LOAN. Or visit our website at TrustlineMortgage.com. Trust your instincts and follow the line to Trustline Mortgage.
Trustline Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 331480.
At the Kitchen and Flooring Design Center, our focus is improving the heart of every home, the kitchen. Right now, purchase a complete set of kitchen cabinets and receive a free bath vanity. Or if your floors need some improvement, choose from a huge selection of carpet, hardwood, or tile. Plus, for a limited time, get 100 feet of select tile for free with all whole home carpet purchases. Materials, installation, and free design services. Your journey to a dream kitchen begins at Kitchen and Flooring Design Center across from Tinseltown on Southside.
The station with the best Jaguars coverage. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
In the mail, check it out. The kind of deals you only dream about. Your Mint Magazine.
Your Mint Magazine.
Mint is here.
Your Mint Magazine. Restaurants, pizza, home improvement, automotive, carpet cleaning, vision care, the best entertainment deals in town, and so much more.
Your Mint Magazine.
Your Mint Magazine.
The Mint is here.
is here. At Parker and Dufresne, we file more Chapter 13 bankruptcies to reorganize debt than any other local law firm. If you need to eliminate debt or restructure current debt, call 733-7766 to schedule a consultation or visit jackslawcenter.com.
The new BMW 5 Series comes with two distinct driving modes, comfort and sport. Comfort mode is a more relaxed driving experience. It's like listening to smooth jazz on the beach. Sport mode instantly feels more dynamic and aggressive. It's like listening to a screaming crowd while running with the bulls. The new BMW 5 Series with comfort and sport modes. We only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine.
Visit TomBushBMW.com or OPBMW.com and see us for a test drive today.
Join me, T-Wig, and Donna Murphy this Sunday for the 1010XL Jaguars Watch Party at Applebee, 14560 Old St. Augustine Road. Register to win home opener tickets and enjoy $5 boneless wings and cheeseburger sliders. Applebee's, touchdown right here.
Celebrate with tournament host Davis Love III when the McGladrey Classic comes to the Golden Isles for its fifth year, this October 20th through the 26th. Played at Sea Island Golf Club, this official PGA Tour event is conveniently located just an hour north of Jacksonville. Join us for youth activities, Darius Rucker in concert, and golf by some of the world's most elite players. Tickets to this seaside tradition are limited, so buy today at McGladreyClassic.com.
It's like sitting around the bar talking sports.
He looks like somebody we know.
He acts like someone we know, too.
I got it.
Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig. XL Primetime. Noon to 3 weekdays on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Ah, there you go. McCartney. I like silly love songs, Tony. And the song as well.
A little more Paul.
Like them both. More Paul Posluszny. That's the matchup that Lauren thinks favors the Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's a tackling machine.
He is a tackling machine. I actually think Jags run defense against Washington's running it because of the style of play of Alfred Morris compared to LeSean McCoy, that more straight-ahead attacking style. I think
great.
Pretty well.
See,
I'm agreeing with you.
Awesome.
I just thought it was weak for a music theme, but I was agreeing with you.
You know what? Y'all didn't get it until almost the end, so I don't care.
I didn't say it was easy to get. I'm just saying
okay.
It was.
I'm answering the question.
Not my favorite. I appreciate
it. You know, I'm going to put someone else in the role of this coming up with a music theme every single day with a limited music selection.
So you're saying we're getting a new producer? Is that what you're... I don't understand.
I'm going to sign the task out. I'm going to delegate.
Let's talk injuries. Dr. Stephen Lucy is one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI, of course, is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute, and they are also our studio sponsor here. Dr. Lucy joined me last year for the Web.com Fantasy Forecast, giving you all the 411 on all those injuries, how they'd affect your fantasy lineup. He's doing it more from just a purely football standpoint this time around. Dr. Lucy, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Good to be here.
Appreciate you stopping by. We saw Jonathan Cyprian have, for me, I thought it was as violent a collision between helmet and turf as I may have seen. I mean, it just seemed like the speed that his helmet hit the turf was so devastating. Looked like he was knocked out cold on the field. Obviously, he came out of that game and is in the concussion protocol. We hear about that all the time. What is the concussion protocol? What can you tell us about the NFL's concussion protocol and what a likely timetable to advance through it might be?
Well, that's a great question because there's a lot of confusion over that, Mike. What they're trying to do is to first of all decide, is it a mild concussion, just got your bell rung, is somebody been knocked out? And that changes it a little bit. But assuming a milder concussion, then now we pull them out of the game. It used to be maybe a half and you could go back playing. No more. You're out of the game. They evaluate them with a series of tests, not a whole lot like what you might see an officer doing a DUI exam. And then on the following day, Monday, in the case of the NFL, they'll get a neuropsychological test seeing how they're thinking. They also want to know, do you still have a headache? Are you still foggy? How are you? Assuming that you pass everything, you don't have a headache, you pass all your tests, then you start going through a series of progressions, you're active, you exercise, you do a light practice, then you do a full practice. So it is possible to return the same week for a mild concussion. But if you still have that headache going into Tuesday, you're not going to make it. If you're still foggy on Wednesday, if you don't pass the neuropsychological test, if you can't touch your nose and stand on one foot and all that stuff, any of those things will kick you out of being able to participate the next week.
And for you as a physician, as someone who would be examining someone in the protocol, is it a bright line? In other words, if you're over this line a step, you're good and you're cleared. Or is there a gray area where you say, you know what? You are, but we just don't necessarily, we want to hold you back another week and see if you progress a little bit further. Or is it simply, if certain criteria is met, boom, you're good to go?
Well, I wish there weren't so much gray in medicine, but as you know, this is how it's supposed to work. There's always a little gray, but the NFL is trying to take out that gray for the protection of the players. So it's more or less cut or dry with, you know, a little wiggle room, depending on how well the person's doing. You know, a day here, a day there, a lot of times you might be able to get them back, whereas you couldn't if with a strict adherence to the protocol.
We hear about baseline testing, right, where you're testing these players in non-concussion situations to establish a cognitive baseline, I guess, and seeing how that compares to how they do when they're in the concussion protocol. Is that, am I representing that accurately?
Absolutely. We want to test the players before the season when they're supposedly normal. And that's a much better test when you test them again versus just test them against a general community baseline. So that way you're testing them against themselves. You know, if they're extremely sharp and got everything right, the next guy may not have, but if he didn't get everything right the first time, he's not going to get everything right the second time.
He's not going to get better.
Yeah, he's not going to get better. That's the fact.
What are we talking about, though? Are we talking, is it like intelligence test kind of thing, or is it like memory questions? What are we asking in these baseline tests?
It's not intelligence, but it's more memory and speed of reaction time, that type of thing. It's to try to determine how this brain injury, which is what a concussion is affecting the player going forward. And what we're finding, even in our high school kids, some of them are not doing well in school for a week or two, and we never pay any attention to that till we started really looking into that. So it's to determine their overall mental health after that brain injury.
This may sound like a crazy question to you, but people are a lot more savvy now, right? For instance, like when you recruit a high school player, they're all reading the message boards of all the school. They know what's being said. They know who else is being recruited. It's just we have much more information. These players are savvy, and we've heard for years stories, recent stories even, of players that will lie to their coaches. If they can say something that they think will convince a coach to put it back in the game, they will. So my question to you is, do you think anyone with that in mind would try to fudge their baseline test so it would appear that they maybe aren't as quick? That way, if they have a mild concussion, it may not show up.
They absolutely do. And there's some checks and balances on that test where we will make them take it over again.
Lie detector at the same time.
Maybe not quite to that extent. But there are a few checks and balances where you get an idea if they're fudging. But even more, on Monday, how you feeling? I'm straight. Do you have a headache? No. You know, you see it all the time.
No, I'm straight. You have covered the National Football League for a while. Let's talk. We're talking here with Dr. Stephen Lucy from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Paul Posluszny, Toby Gerhart, getting my injuries confused here. Toby Gerhart gets tackled from behind. It was called a horse collar tackle, which is typically you're grabbing inside of the collar and grabbing a guy and kind of pulling him back. We saw Terrell Owens get a pretty bad injury like that during the Eagles Super Bowl season. I think it resulted in a high ankle sprain for him, missed a good portion of that year. But what is it about this kind of tackle where you're being grabbed either by the shoulder pads or the back of the jersey and being pulled down that is so devastating and results in so many lower body injuries?
Well, in the cases you mentioned, there are ankle injuries, but a lot of times you can have neck injuries. I mean, it's a very sudden deceleration and snapping back somebody's neck, and you're throwing them down. It puts your knees, your ankles, as well as your neck at risk. It's been outlawed for as long as I can remember. I did see the play. Maybe it wasn't exactly a horse collar, but it had the same effect.
All right, and finally, on a personal note, if a 45-year-old man had a partially torn lateral meniscus in his left knee and he had it treated successfully, would his golf game recover eventually?
He may not ever be able to play golf again.
What if he couldn't play to begin with? My baseline was very low, Doc.
I will tell you, Mike, it's pretty interesting. some people coming back from injuries actually play better because whatever it snaps in the middle of your backswing that says kill it, that they temper that when they're coming back and they hit it a little easier and a little smoother and they do play better.
He's a swing doctor as well, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of the 31 physicians with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Again, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars and our studio sponsors here. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, good to see you. We'll catch up again next week. Hopefully, we'll talk about injuries on other teams as the Jags will come through with a clean medical report this week.
Absolutely. That's what we're all hoping for.
They're all going to be straight on Monday is what they're going to be. Thank you, Doc. There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy with the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Time now for your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight. Tony, we asked people today what matchup they felt was most advantageous to the Jaguars as they squared off with the Washington Redskins this week. By the way, I should point out Dr. Stephen Lucy appears courtesy of the Garber Auto Mall hot seat right here in the JOI studios. So thanks to the folks at Garber Auto Mall as well for providing the hot seat to all of our guests here and the hotline as well for our telephone guests. Give us a sample, Tony, of the reaction we got to the Jags' best matchup versus the Redskins.
Here we go. From ND, we got D-line versus right side of the Redskins' offensive line. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag sack RG3. Hashtag D-line. Hashtag finish the game. And like I said, I've been watching the tape today, and Columbus is terrible at right tackle. And I can't tell how much of that is that J.J. Watt is just a monster, and how much of that is Columbus is terrible.
J.J. Watt is a monster.
But it's hard to tell. I may have to go back to watch some game or something from last year to really know. But he was certainly bad in that game against Houston last week. From Eric, we got, I really think our D-line will dominate, contain RG3, and force mistakes. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Hitman. From Clinton, D-line versus Washington's run game. Hashtag Jaguars today. There's a theme here. From Punisher, our receiving core versus the Redskins secondary. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from DeJags, RD against RG3. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag enough any excuses. Hashtag it's getting old.
Is it getting old? I wonder, does he feel like we are making Henny excuses? I don't know. Perhaps, and that's fine.
I don't think anybody's making Henny excuses. Like, I don't feel like that's been the theme this week, is that people are trying to excuse the play of Chad Henny. I feel like the fans, look, we get the frustration of watching Chad Henne week in, week out, not be able to elevate the play on the offensive side of the ball for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We get it. He's not the type of player that's going to do that kind of thing. And I, like a lot of you out there, feel like, yeah, the answer for that is probably sitting on the bench. And it's frustrating. We
guess
get
what?
It.
We all feel that
yeah,
way. I don't know anybody who doesn't, but, you know, then you see it. Whatever, if you want to call them excuses. But when the team is pointing out that they feel like in the second half alone there were 6 dropped passes by the wide receiver core, they're sending you a message, whether that's their intent or not, that Chad Henne's not the problem right now. And yeah, I get it. 3 and out. How's that not the problem? I get it. Okay. But they're saying they're mitigating factors in here, and one of the factors is, as well, Tony, as we talked early in the show, what's the difference between Chad Henne and Eli? Well, Eli's going to make more brilliant plays, but he's also going to cost you more with some big mistakes. Now, it's not like Chad can't throw interceptions, but Eli's thrown them at an alarming rate over the last couple of years, but at the same time, he's going to look to force it down the field, and that is something that they want more of from Chad Henne. We'll see if he delivers that this week.
Well, if he starts throwing picks, even if it is when he's trying to force the ball downfield,
they're not going to be happy with that.
Monday is going to be crazy around here.
Look, I mean, and that's the thing. You knew it wasn't going to happen. At least I felt it wasn't going to happen. Any kind of change. And I don't think one's imminent, by the way, unless it's,
I don't get that sense.
Unless it is the combined dumpster fire train wreck. If a train wreck wrecks because there was a dumpster on the track that happened to be on fire, unless it's that combination of bad, then I just don't see that rug being pulled this quickly for the home opener. So you can expect that again, but the fan base is going to clamor for what they clamor for, and that's fine, as long as because you feel that Blake's the better option. I agree with you, by the way, that he is the better option, or at least he's close enough of an option that I'd like to see him out there, and I think we all agree. When I say all, you, me, the people that we talk to in the building that come on as co-hosts of the show, that a large percentage of this factor is the supporting cast right now and the protection and the inexperience of the wide receivers and all these things. And I understand the counterpoint as well. You got a more mobile guy in Blake Bortles. He's going to deal with the protection issues better. That may be the case, but I do think those things are definitely a factor because, as Jeff Logman said, you don't want your rookie quarterback to constantly be facing third and nine.
No, you don't. And I understand all those things, and I don't doubt that those are some of the factors that go into Blake Bortles not being the starting quarterback yet. My reaction to that is that Chad Henne isn't good enough to overcome a bunch of young receivers and an offensive line that isn't really put together, and the offense not really providing a spark. Chad Henne will be as good as the guys around him allow him to be. And the idea being that Blake Bortles may be able to take the guys that are around him now and make them better. I get the sense that Blake Bortles can do that. I don't think Chad Henne can.
And I agree, but I agree. The reason why, Tony, is because he's going to be more aggressive, and he's going to give you more
Absolutely.
Opportunities to win 50-50 balls, but also because he's going to throw better passes ultimately. Not every time. He's going to have his misses as well. He had several near interceptions in the preseason, whatever the case. My contention, my bone of contention with the segment of the fan base that feels like it's just that the team is going to respond better and they're going to try harder for Blake Bortles,
no.
which I think is silly.
No, Blake is better. The team would be better because I think Blake is better,
because
not
he'll
because
play
they're going
better.
To try harder.
Right, and it will result in more opportunities,
Correct.
Better opportunities, and all those things. And then when you start having some more of that success, you're going to have that confidence level go up. But I don't think necessarily that the team would be any more confident with Blake starting this week than they would with Chad Henne. If his play continued along what we saw in the preseason and he was making plays throughout the course, then yeah, I think he could raise that level of confidence and expectation.
Totally agree.
Among the players on that locker. It's coming. It's coming. It's just not going to come quick enough for the majority of the fans out there. And hey, that's your prerogative.
Sure.
All right? Skins, Jags, you'll catch it here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Coming up next, XL Primetime, Joe C., Hacker, T-Wig have it for you. We'd like to thank Mark Long for joining us in studio today. We'd like to thank Dr. Stephen Lucy from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute on the Garber Auto Mall hot seat today, taking a look at this week's injury report. For Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, and for Lauren Brooks, I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Stick around. XL Primetime straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.